righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, present with healing in his wings.
Start service this morning. Let me say that we appreciate you coming out and being with us. Beautiful crowd this morning to celebrate Christmas. We had a call an audible last week, so we're going to have the play, and then also the choir is going to come and present to you their Christmas program. Then I'll preach just a few minutes. Then we're still going to have a few refreshments afterwards that we want everybody to sort of hang around and fellowship with us if they would. And I know Jeffrey and him's put a lot of energy into this thing, and I just saw Ralphie, I think, behind there in the bunny suit. So they told me how this thing was going to open, and I thought, that's odd. But we're going to give them some poetic license here, I guess, to do their thing. And they're excited about it. So we're going to turn them loose now. If I think maybe John's the one supposed to come out. This is a Kellerman's Christmas showcase. So we want you to enjoy this play, and then after that, the choir will come, and then we'll have a short message and some fellowship afterwards. We're here to celebrate Jesus, who is the reason for the season. Amen. And I hope everybody in the hustle and bustle sort of takes a minute or two and slows down and realizes that it's all about the one who came, took on the form of a human man so that he could fellowship with us. And so we're excited about sharing that message with you today. But we're going to turn it over to them now. John. Wow, looking good. I feel underdressed.
Hello and welcome to the Kellerman's Christmas Showcase. I'm John, your host for tonight, and
I've been waiting for so long now, and some won't stand by me.
If they want to see this part, they can rent the DVD. You and your dancing monkeys get back to work. Okay, now where were we? Yeah, our next guest to come introduce the next act just finished shooting their latest movie. Please welcome Ralphie. I didn't understand a word he just said. Our next guest to come introduce our next act. They're Holly, they're Jolly, straight from the Big Apple, the Rockettes. That's harder than it looks. But weren't they the reindeer's kicks? For our next group, oh, Olly Golly, I think they just caught their mommy, the Jackson 5.
Underneath the mistletoe, there's love. kissing, kissing, kissing Santa Claus.
I did. I really did see Mommy kissing Santa Claus. And I'm gonna tell my dad.
I think Santa is gonna have some explaining to do. Here to promote their latest record, straight from our Christmas tree, our sponsors, the Chipmunks.
All right, you Chipmunks, ready to sing your song?
I'll say we are. Yeah, let's sing it now.
Okay, Simon?
Okay.
Okay, Theodore?
Okay.
Okay, Alvin? Alvin? Alvin!
Wow, that was fantastic. I know what record I'm asking Santa Claus to put in my stocking this year. Now, our next guest is here to tell us what Christmas is really about. Please welcome Gabby.
Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid, and the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Thank you, Gabby. That was fabulous. I didn't know that was the true meaning of Christmas.
Yes, and we are getting ready to show you more.
I can't wait. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this evening has been amazing. Let's see what else these wonderful performers have in store for us.
Oh, Christ is born.
Wraps up our part of today's program, but please stay and help worship with your very own Mallory Church of God choir.
Any children can now be dismissed to the Connect Kids. Let's give them a round of applause again. Was that not wonderful? Wow. Praise God for that. We want to thank you for coming and being part of this morning. You know, Christmas is a very busy time. Christmas is for some people, it's a very stressful time. And it can be, in some cases, a sad time if you've lost someone. But, one thing that's important to remember is during this time, as we try to teach our kids and our grandkids, Violet, there's more to it than just the hubbub and stuff like that. There's a true meaning of Christmas, and that is the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? So we give everybody a hand clap, you know, for what they're doing. The choir's going to do a wonderful job, I'm sure of that. And I just, every year that they do this stuff, it blows me away, Jeremy, that they just... It just blows me away how good they do, and we love to give them a hand clap, but I want to do something a little bit different. How many people are appreciative of the birth of our Savior? Amen? Amen. How about let's give Jesus a hand clap of praise? Amen. Amen. I'm going to need everybody to stand to your feet real quick. I don't know where Terry went. We're going to take up the offering to get some... Okay, God bless you, brother. Can I get a couple people? You got it. Real quick, it's important. A lot of times we forget sometimes, or we just don't really put as much thought into it when it comes to giving as an act of worship. And it truly is an act of worship. We're at the end of the year, and sometimes we don't understand or we just don't know what you're giving does here at the church. And just briefly, because we give God all the praise, honor, and the thanks for it, but every time you give in the offering here to church or your tithes, as the scripture says, it's important that you understand that it goes toward personal missionaries. It goes toward world missionaries. It goes toward rehabilitation homes. It goes toward food baskets. We fed a whole lot of people here in the last little bit that nobody knows. They don't know those things go on, Pearl. But it's important that you understand that it's a very giving church, and it can only be a giving church because you're giving people. Amen. So we thank God for that. We want you to know that anytime you give here at Maui Church of God, you give unto the Lord, you give as unto the Lord. It's important to remember those things. But it's important also that you understand that, you know what, God is blessing it, and it is being used for the uplifting and building of His kingdom, okay? I'm going to ask everybody to bow their heads right now. We're going to pray over the offering. I'm going to ask Brother Terry Ellis to pray.
Christ our Lord. started in a manger, ended in an empty grave. Oh, I know that hope has a name. Emmanuel, the light of the world, who broke through the darkness. All hail the King. Emmanuel, the light of the world, the glory of heaven. Come if you're broken, come if you're searching.
He's here with us. Oh, with no place to lay his head, the Savior of the world in a feeding trough. Well, when you think of it, Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is the living bread of life that sacrifices, that satisfies the soul. Today, Jesus is seated at the Father's right hand, making intercessions for us. Our Savior, our King, our Almighty God, our blessed hope, our Comforter, and our Redeemer. Holy are you, O Lord. Worthy are you, O Lord. Hallelujah to the precious Lamb of God.
Worthy is your name.
Let's sing that one more time to him.
Singing, oh, how I love Jesus.
Here to him.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Like a ship
Give him a hand clap of praise and appreciation. Amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. We appreciate the choir for that honor of leading us in worship this morning. Can we give Kim and the choir a big hand clap of appreciation as well? You know, I'm bad to talk about taking the presence of the Lord for granted and how we never want to do that here. And I certainly don't want to take for granted the hard work that goes into the service that they pull off every Sunday. And they always, one thing I know is when the choir shows up, they're going to be anointed. They've prayed over things, practiced, and ready to go. And we certainly appreciate that all year long, just not today. Wonderful job, Jeffrey and Paige, and all of them done. Appreciate the flexibility of being able to call an audible when we had some weather last week. Just didn't think it was real smart to get out. And I got in the little group there that most of the people in church are in, and I said, if everybody in here promises not to backslide between now and the next Sunday, I said, we'll call church off if everybody promises not to backslide here and next day. So, and every time there's weather coming in, I always hear from, you know, local pastors, hey, what are you going to do? I always tell them, look, if you use caution and call a Sunday off, if they backslide, they probably didn't have a whole lot to start with, right? So, like the little boy that kept falling out of the bed, and they didn't know what was going on, and finally they figured out he was too close to where he got in. So if you fall out over one Sunday, probably need to scoot over a little bit. You're living too close to where you got in, you know what I mean, Jeremiah? So, but we appreciate everybody coming out and being with us this morning, celebrating Christmas with us, and we're going to share a short message with you this morning. We had to cram everything in on one Sunday, and that's all right. We still want you to hang around and fellowship and try to slow down as much as possible around this time of year. And we've been talking about Emmanuel, God with us, and we started out the first week talking about how that promise was given. That was a prophecy and a promise that was given during a bleak time in the nation of Israel. And so it was a king sort of doubting, if you will, and sort of not trusting God, and he was looking to other countries, and God said, I'm going to send you a sign to show you that I am with you. And it was during that time that God done that, was prophecy that was also pointing to the Messiah, Jesus, which would come. And we made the connection there that so many times in our life, when it's the bleakest, seems like that's when God's promises mean the most, and that's when he fulfills those promises, and that God is with us no matter what. And I'm so thankful for that, that no matter what you go through, as a matter of fact, we were sharing some stories, maybe Ted and Dave, when we come, and we're assuming the wind blew the HVAC system off the platform over here the other day, so me and Dave and Ted knocked the rust off of our muscles and threw that thing back up there, and we sitting in there just, you know, chit-chatting and talking about electricity and how, you know, don't get around it and this and that. And I said, shoot, I was an electrician, so I used to do a lot of stupid things. I said, I can remember 483 phase getting up there and it being hot and me actually stripping the wire. And if you've ever stripped wire, you know how hard that is, especially with 480 volts and it being hot. I'd strip it. I said, I'd put it together and I could feel it crackling underneath my fingers. I said, I've put my hands in stuff knowing I was going to get lit up, taste copper for 2 or 3 days, chest hurt, done so many stupid things. And I was telling them about cutting a piece of conduit one time, thought I had it traced out. We're going somewhere with this. Hang on with me just a minute. So I traced this conduit out, and I think this is the circuit. We're going to cut it off. I'm going to shorten the pipe. We're going to take this circuit and go on. I grabbed the conduit, put the hacksaw to it, start into it, had the wrong breaker, Jeremiah, 483 phase. Yep. Sound like a shotgun went off. When I got my eyesight back, my hacksaw blade was blown in two, but I wasn't bothered at all. Had a hold of the conduit. And I even made the statement to them that day. I said, that was before I got saved. And you know, it hit me all of a sudden. Ain't God good that even Even before I got saved, he had his hand upon. I can testify to Emmanuel, God with us, and allowing us, even when we do stupid things, God is still with us and protects us. Has God ever been with you and protected you? Give him a hand clap of praise and appreciation. Amen. Amen. So we're going to read to you the same verse we've been reading. If you want to stand for the reading of God's word, it's found in Matthew. Dave's going to put it up on the screen for us. Just one verse of scripture. It says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. You can be seated if you wish. We talked a whole lot about making it practical the first Sunday and how God is with us through the struggles of our life, no matter what it is that we're going through. And if you've been saved and you've got that relationship with Jesus, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you don't have that relationship with Jesus, I want you to know that he is willing and ready to be a Savior, to be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And all you have to do is call on him, repent. He'll come in and he'll live with you and he'll abide with you. And my testimony is I got saved, and that first step that I took toward the altar was the last one I'll ever have to take on my own, because I felt like the Lord just came and walked beside me and has every day since been God, Emmanuel, with us. And I wanted to sort of break it down a little bit more scriptural today and talk about the fact that God took on flesh and became man, and what that really means to us during this time of year, and the essence of that, the substance of that, the fact that Jesus came down from heaven, and this is, and I'll probably say this a couple of times here because this is the main point that I want you to get, it was addition, not subtraction. So in other words, he didn't lose the fact that he was God. He just took on the fact that he was man. And let me make this very clear, because sometimes we separate it and we don't understand this and we lose sight of this when we read the scripture, when we think about Jesus, when we think about that baby in a manger, is sometimes we sort of, he's so much God that we forget that he was indeed as much man as he was God. And it's probably one of the greatest mysteries in the scripture. One of the greatest Christian mysteries is that a virgin could bring forth a child, and that child could embody everything that is God and yet embody everything that is man. I think I mentioned the first week that Job said it this way. He was in a bad way, and he said, if I had a daysman, or if I had an umpire, he called it in that language, that was holy enough to lay hands and hold God by the hand and still lowly enough to grab me by the hand, he said, then I could speak to God and wouldn't be so afraid. It was a foreshadowing of Jesus, who would indeed come and become lowly like you and I, take upon flesh and be able to experience the things that we experience and grab a hold of our hand, and yet holy enough and still fully God to be able to keep hold of God, so that we could have a connection between us and God, and that is Jesus Christ. There's one mediator between us and God, and his name is Jesus. Give him a hand clap of praise. And so he came and took on flesh, but what I want you to understand is he's always been around, and I hope we understand that. And I think about every Christmas I mention this. We see genealogies in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke, and if you track those genealogies back, you know, I know how it is in genealogies, and this one begat that one and all that, and especially in the Old Testament, people sort of, you know, I got up one morning and Kelly's listening to, is it Tara Lee Cobble, I think is her name, and so she's going through the begats, and Kelly's like, I've got to be honest with you, this is hard. I said, yeah, sometimes you get lost in all that, but if you go back and you look, you'll find some meaning in it. But in the genealogies of Jesus, you'll see that Matthew tracks his lineage back through David, which was the king, which Matthew presented him as the king. And then you'll see where he goes back through the lineage in Luke through Mary, which shows that he was the Son of Man. And so that's the reason there's two different genealogies when it comes to Jesus. But I always say there was a third genealogy given there that people overlook, and that was John. You see, Matthew presented Jesus as the king, the Messiah, Mark, he was all about the servant, right? The servant of God. That's the reason there's no genealogy. When you open up Mark, he's already ministering and at his business because that's how Mark presents him. In Luke, you'll see him as the Son of Man. You'll see all the healings and the things that he done. But John was given the task of presenting him as the Son of God. And so John's genealogy is this. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. The Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. It's his way of saying Jesus, who came and took on flesh, was in the beginning with God and was God's Word. And here's the whole idea of Christmas and a relationship with Jesus is, if you don't talk to someone, if you don't communicate with someone, you cannot have a relationship with them. And for years, God had tried to communicate through prophets, through priests, through other things. And it came down to the fact to where he said, you know what? I've got to send my son because my son will do what I would do. My son will say what I'll say. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, I can't do anything except what I've seen the Father do. Whatever he would say, whatever he would do was a direct reflection of God himself. And so God has Jesus step down and take on flesh and come. And the Bible says that he was here and his own received him not. But as many as will, to him can be salvation to the glory of God. You see, when we talk about the fact that it's all about addition and not subtraction, we see where the Son from eternity humbled himself and came down and took on flesh to know what you and I go through. I think that's one of the greatest things that we can take from this time of year, because as Ted said earlier, you've heard me mention this before, during this time of year, there's more suicides than any other time of year, because in a time that's supposed to be joyful and full of hope and gathering together, people feel desperate and hopeless like no other time of the year, a lot of times because they're alienated and they don't have that family. They look and see other families, or maybe they're going through the tragedy of losing someone. I think about the Miners family, so close to vacation, and losing him, and how what a tragedy that is. And it just, if you've ever lost someone close to you, you know what I'm talking about. It reshapes how the holidays come. It just reshapes it. It just doesn't seem the same, doesn't feel the same. And so many people take that to the point of despair. But here is God saying, if you'll really grab a hold of the reason for this season, and that is Emmanuel, God with us, you'll know that I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. You never have to feel alone because he is with us. Give him a hand clap of praise and appreciation. And I never let it go without stating that the reason he done that was because Adam failed in the beginning. The reason Jesus had to come and took on flesh and was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. You see, you don't have a high priest that can't be touched with the feelings of your infirmity, but he was in all points tempted like we are. So when we go through temptation here, when we go through trials, I need you to understand that Jesus has went through the same thing. Kelly was asking me the other day, I guess she was in that part of the reading about where they offered him sour vinegar. She said, what's that mean, sour vinegar? I said, they give it to those that were dying on the cross to numb the pain. Jesus said no, he had to feel that pain. And I told her, I said, you know when it says in all points tempted like we are yet without sin? She said, yeah. I said, that was Jesus turning away from drugs and alcohol. So many people use those things to numb what's going on and they don't even realize it. And Jesus was given that same temptation and he turned away from it. So it doesn't matter what you struggle with, God with us, Emmanuel, can help you through that very addiction or whatever it is that you're dealing with. Jesus can be there with us through that. And he came to fulfill the prophecy that was given when Adam fell that said, I'm going to send a seed of the woman and he's going to crush the head of the serpent. So when Jesus came and fulfilled the law, he done everything. He didn't bypass the law. He kept the law. Every line of the law he kept. and was without sin so that you and I could know salvation through him and a relationship with God. It's the reason, and listen, this is just the fact of the matter. Everybody here was born into sin. And you've heard me, if you come here, you've heard me illustrate this 1,000 times this way. But it's the best one I got. When you're little, or when your kids are, I don't even remember when I was little. I'm sure when I was little, I probably lied a time or two. Maybe once or twice. Or I'm lying again, ain't I? I'm just kidding. But you know how it is. If you got a kid, right, and I use this illustration all the time, you can watch them do something and go, did you do this? And they go, mm-mm. And listen, if you don't believe the scripture, if you don't believe in God, this is one of the greatest things that helps me understand that there is a God and the scripture is true when it says we're born into sin. I always ask people, did you teach that child to lie? I don't know anybody that teaches their kids to lie. Maybe some hoodlums that's trying to get money out of people and things of that nature, right? But when they're that little, I don't know anybody that teaches a child to lie. Yet, they know how. Because they are born into sin. It's in them to lie, to do whatever, to get out of trouble, just as Adam did when he ran when God came looking for him. Born into sin, we can't help it. But here is Jesus who comes, who is without sin. And so we have the question that everybody always asks, why did it have to be a virgin birth? That's exactly why. Sin is passed down from the man. When Adam sinned, that's when the fall took place. It wasn't when Eve ate because she wasn't given the command. Adam was the one that was given the command. And when Adam ate, their eyes were open and they seen that there was sin. And now sin passes down from the father to every child that is born. And here's Jesus who is without sin because his father is not on this earth, but his father is in heaven who is perfect and holy. Are y'all with me? So why the virgin birth? That's why, because Jesus had to be holy, blameless, spotless, and without sin, and yet he was tempted with sin. He experienced fatigue. He experiences the things that you and I experience, and yet he came and he satisfied the law. He came to fulfill all those prophecies that would come. Romans chapter 5 shows us a great contrast there between him and Adam when it says, for as one man's disobedience, talking about Adam, many were made sinners. So by one man's obedience, which was Jesus, many will be made righteous. You see, when Adam sinned, sin came into the world. Why do bad things happen? Because Adam sinned. Why do good people get cancer? Because Adam sin. Why are children starving? Why are they neglected? Because Adam sinned. I'm getting tired of God getting the blame for all of that stuff. Adam sinned, and sin entered into the world, and because of that, we had the tragedy that we have now because we live in a fallen world. But thank God, he sent his son Jesus Christ to redeem us from that curse. And now we can have the promise of eternity the way that God intended it to be. And that is with him and Jesus in eternity forever in fellowship with him. Give him a hand clap of praise and appreciation. John said, the word came and dwelt among us. That word is a Greek word that means to make one's dwelling, just like they did in the Old Testament, the tabernacle, when they would get ready to move and they'd have to take the tabernacle with them because that was God's presence. Everywhere in the Old Testament the Israelites went, they had to take up the temple and move it with them because that was the essence and the presence of God represented here on earth. I'm so thankful that I don't have to carry this church with me where I go. I'm glad that even though I can carry that Bible no matter where I go, the fact of the matter is Jesus is with me, and because he's with me, everywhere I go, he goes. Aren't you glad for that? I believe David said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. goodness and mercy is right behind you when Jesus is right beside you. God is good all the time. So we see that revelation of who Jesus is, God in the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 says, you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake, he became poor, that through his poverty we might be rich. What that means is this: Jesus had it all, and he left it all to come down and be a babe in a manger, because God wanted a relationship with us, representative here, to show exactly who God is. Because he knows deep down inside that's what we all want. Let me just stop right here for a minute and say, if you're seeking some kind of contentment and peace and happiness in a person or in a job or in a bank account or in a vacation spot or in a boat or anything else, you're not going to find it, because God has carved out a place in your heart that only he can fill. It's the reason one of the disciples said, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll satisfy us. They wanted to know who God really is. And Jesus said, I've been with you this long and you still don't know who I am. You see, God had to send his son as a representative to who he is. And he had to do it as a baby so that we wouldn't be intimidated. If you read the Old Testament, you'll see a lot of times where the Israelites would tell Moses, you go talk to him. Come back and tell us what he says, because we don't want to go out there. He scares us to death. For a long time, I think that's how the Pentecostal bunch sort of preached Jesus or God. You know, was, you got to watch him, he'll kill you. You know, do something wrong, he'll smite you. little inside joke there from a Wednesday night Bible study. If you do something wrong, God will smite you. God is going to bring judgment one of these days, but God doesn't want us to fear him in a way that we avoid him. So instead of sending cloud or his glory down that would blind everybody, he done it in the most humble of ways. There's nothing more fragile, more humble, more needy than anything in the world than a newborn babe. That baby is totally dependent on everyone around it. It was God's way of saying, I'm going to come down and I'm going to dwell among you and I'm going to make myself as humble as I can be. Listen to me. God entrusted his son with Joseph and Mary to take care of him, because Jesus, I know he was God, but right there he didn't have any other power that you would have than what a baby has, and that is he is dependent on everyone around. That's how much God humbled himself and came down. As a matter of fact, Philippians talks about the fact that he didn't think it was robbery to consider himself equal with God, yet he took upon himself the image of man, flesh, so that you and I can know God and know salvation through Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, for the love of Christ compels us, those who should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Kelly gets on to me because I repeat a lot of things around the holidays, but I always want to make sure I make it clear. Easter, a lot of times we put him on the cross, but I'm going to tell you something, he's not on the cross. He's resurrected at the right hand of God the Father. And I always say around Christmas time, we love to put him there, and rightfully so, but can I tell you, he's still not there? He came as a babe, but I'm going to tell you, he fulfilled his mission, lived 33 and some years, and died on a cross so that you and I could have a relationship with God. That's the promise that we have of Christmas, that no matter what's going on, Emmanuel, God with us, God revealing himself in this world of glory in his Son, where the two comes, and it's an amazing thing. It's a mystery. If you try to figure it out, if you try to reason it out, if you try to logically think about it, you'll never make sense of it. That's why it's called walking by faith. My mother had a friend that she witnessed to after my mother got saved, and that friend would always tell her, and this blows my mind, but it's how much the enemy uses that to trip people up She would always say, I don't have a problem believing in a God somewhere, but I cannot believe in a virgin having a child. That virgin birth really stumped her. She just did not understand how a virgin could conceive and bring forth a child. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you believe that there's a God somewhere that created everything that you and I see, I don't think there's anything that's out of His reach. And I think he done it that way for a specific reason. Don't stumble over that reason, the virgin birth. Understand that. He done that so that Jesus would be born pure and without sin, so that He could be tempted in all points like we are. And when we have temptation come into our life, we got somebody who we can go to make intercession for you and I. I wonder if you'd stand with me to your feet this morning as we close. And I want to ask a question this morning. Jesus came and took on flesh so that He could dwell among us and show us exactly who God is. Colossians calls Him the image of the invisible God. In other words, there was this quote-unquote invisible God that couldn't be seen, in so much that He even told Moses, He said, you get back in the cleft of the rock and I'm going to cover you up and you'll be able to see my hinder parts, but you can't see my face. God was this invisible God until Jesus showed up. God sent prophet after prophet, leader after leader, and everybody that was sent died. A lot of times the nation of Israel, the one they were sent to, done the killing. So God sent His Son, and what happened? They killed Him as well. But little did they know that it was all part of the plan for Jesus to be the perfect sacrifice to do what you and I can't, so that we can have the relationship with God that we need. Listen, it's not just about heaven and hell. That's the main thing. I think sometimes we lose sight of that. We don't talk about that enough maybe anymore, that there is heaven and hell, and you're going to spend your eternity somewhere. There's just no getting around that. But there's so much more to that here on earth that we can have. Peace, joy, in the way of knowing Jesus as our Savior. And God said, I'm going to have to send my Son down to take on flesh so that He ain't intimidating, so that they can see Him, so that He can experience what they experience. And I'm going to make a brand new creature, if you will, here with somebody who's as much God as He is man and as much man as He is God. And I'm going to put the two together because I need them to see exactly who I am. And here's what I want to bring to you this morning. For years, the Old Testament writers tried their best to convey, as the Holy Spirit would come upon them and they would pen things down or say things, they done their best to convey who God was, and yet it would always fall short. Because no matter what they done, Ray, they were just a representative of God. See, the Holy Spirit would come upon them, they might say one thing, go down the road and mess up, do something they shouldn't do. Everybody that was sent to represent God always fell short. That's the reason John said he began to weep, because they looked all over heaven and earth in the graves and nobody was found worthy to open the book and loose the seal and unroll the scroll there, if you will. But then he said, thank God. There was one, a line, a tribe of Judah, David, Jesus Christ, who was overcome and is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. God said, I've had enough of just sending a representative. I've had enough of just speaking to him in lines and paragraphs. I've had enough of just somebody else being my mouthpiece. And so He Himself came down so that we could see exactly who God is. So whoever you think God is in your in your mind, and you've got this illustration of God in your mind, and maybe a commercial, a movie, or even a loved one has painted this picture of God in your mind, I want you to understand that if you really want to know who God is, get in the Gospels and find out what Jesus said. Find out what Jesus done. That is who God is. He came and opened blinded eyes, healed the lame, forgave sin, called out sin. He done exactly what God would do because He was God. I wonder if I could get everybody to bow their head and close their eyes just for a moment. The Bible says He came and dwelt among us. They saw Him, and His own, meaning the nation of Israel, received Him not. But John goes on to say, but to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave them the right to become the children of God. If you're here this morning, you're lost, you're undone, you don't know Jesus. You've heard about God, you've heard about Jesus, but you never had Him as a true relationship. You've never been introduced to God through Jesus Christ, who He really is. I want you to understand that that manger, that cross, that death, that resurrection was so you and I would have the right to become the children of God. Doesn't guarantee it, because you've got to do your part. But you've got the right. You've got the opportunity to really experience Christmas for what it's really all about. That is Jesus, the light of the world, the Savior of the world. If you're here this morning, you're lost, you're undone. You need to know God. You need to know Jesus. And forgiveness of sin, this altar's open right now. I guarantee you there'll be people here to pray with you. I didn't want to close this until we give the opportunity for someone to accept Jesus and realize what Christmas is truly all about. And that is God is with us. Emmanuel, no matter what we're going through, no matter what's happening, no matter what's going on, God is with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll go with us all the way, even to the end of the world. You're here this morning, you don't know Jesus, and you need to. You want to. This altar is open. Here's what I want the rest of us to do as you count up the cost, I believe the Scripture calls it. As those that are lost and undone, count up the cost. I want those of us that are redeemed, those of us who know Jesus as Savior, who know the real reason for the season that we're in, to raise your hands this morning. What I want you to do is think about what Jesus done for you in a manger when He came and took on flesh, so that we could be saved, so that we could have a relationship, so we could know exactly who God is. And yet He didn't stop there. He came and He ministered for 3 years. Sacrificed for 3 years. Was hunted. Yet He came and fulfilled everything that His Father gave Him to do. Bible says that He learned obedience, even obedience to the death of the cross. He submitted to the will of God. That baby grew, the Bible says, in wisdom and in stature with men and with God. He had to go through everything that we have to go through. And yet He done it without sin, so that you and I would have an intercessor to go to. And when we go to Him, we can rest assured that He knows exactly what we feel.